Okay, so we thank the Richmonds for hosting this evening. We hope that the learning will be L'ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Moshe. And thank you for the delicious food, and thank you everyone for coming out once again. Okay, we're on page 285. We're in the middle, about the middle of the page, the line that begins with the word Bitsar, and the word right after that is where we're off to. Let's just jump right in. I feel like if we spend any time reviewing, we're going to end up doing more Chazar and not moving forward. So let's jump right in. What are some of the advantages of having bitachon in terms of the spiritual advantages? What are the advantages in terms of one's Torah? Torah doesn't just mean, again, learning Torah. It means living a life of Avodas Hashem. A person who has bitachon will have advantages in Avodas Hashem in the following way. Ki avoteach v'Hashem imhu bal mamon. If a person has trust in Hashem, again, for those who are new, we've been learning that Amunah is the theory of faith in God, while bitachon is the application of how do I make decisions in my daily life that reflect the fact that I actually believe in God. It's always very easy to be a person who believes in Hashem when things are working out. When things are not going as well, it becomes a little harder for us to be people of trust, to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, we've said all along, I'll just mention one point by way of Chazara, that the litmus test of a Baal Bitachon is Menuchas HaNefesh. To what degree can I face the challenge and stay calm? As we said last week from Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, a person can have tsaros, but a person should try not to have dagot. Right? Tsara means that my life is not simple, and I'm going through a difficult. And it's okay to admit that I don't like the situation. When I become well, totally normal and human, but that's a sign of a lack of bitachon. Again, that doesn't mean that you're a heretic, God forbid. Just to be clear about that, there's many levels in bitachon. It just means you don't have perfect bitachon. So if you're going through a difficulty, whether it's a difficulty in your professional life, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a family issue, whatever it is, and you're nervous, if you're nervous, that's a sign that you don't have complete bitachon in Hashem. You're not relying entirely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that He knows what He's doing, and that everything is going to be okay. And the fact that you're nervous is an indication that you question, does Hashem really know what He's doing? There's a great line from Aaron HaGadol Mikarlin. Aaron of Karlin said, we know in the Torah, and again, there's real Torah sources that indicate this, but certainly we know from Pirkei Avos, Havedanis kol adam lekaf schos. There's an expectation that a person should judge all people favorably. Very important principle in terms of the overarching Bein Adam L'Chaveiro principle of all Bein Adam L'Chaveiro principles. To be able to judge people favorably is critical. That's why the Rebbe of Kamarna pointed out that the gematria of Havidonis called Adam L'Kaf Schus is the same as Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because it's almost like the rabbinic Bein Adam L'Chaveiro corollary to the same way that I believe in God, so I have to believe in my fellow man. If I see someone doing something wrong, I have to believe that they're doing the right thing. I have to try to be malamed tzchus on that individual. So Rav Aaron HaGadol of Karlin said, if there's an obligation to judge other people favorably, don't we think or shouldn't we believe that a person should judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu favorably? Meaning the same way that I have to give my neighbor the benefit of the doubt, so when my life is getting a little shaky, maybe I should give God benefit of the doubt that He knows what He's doing? I think it's a very fair point. To trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what He's doing. And again, that doesn't mean I have to like it or understand it. It's very important to keep emphasizing that. Hashem does things to us that we don't understand, and we don't find particularly comfortable. And again, that's what I mentioned last week. Someone asked Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, who's one of the tzaddikim and heads of the Breslov community in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael, who's in his 80s now, and they asked Rav Yaakov Meir, who's had a very difficult life, Rebbe, how do you deal with all of your difficulties? So he says, tsaros I have, struggles I have, painful things in my life I have. He has a lot of different things in his life that are very difficult. But he says, but daigos I don't have, worry I don't have. That's a very important chiluk, right, between tsara and daiga. The situation is not fun, it's not comfortable. I don't know why Hashem put me in this situation. I may not be able, and it may not be, by the way, because you're not doing enough this or that or the other thing. Right? So whatever it is, whatever Hashem's calculation is, I'm going through a tough time. But I'm not anxious about it because I know that Hashem runs the world. And I'm dan l'kaf schus. I give Hashem the benefit of the doubt that He knows what He's doing. So therefore, a person who has bitachon, let's read inside. Mitoelas habitachon b'Hashem b'inyan Torah. If a person has bitachon in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, how does it help him in his avodas Hashem in terms of his other responsibilities in the service of God? Ki avoteach b'Hashem, one who relies on Hashem. Im hu bal mamon, if he's a wealthy person, very financially successful, yemaher lahotzi chovas halokim, he's able to very quickly and very appropriately spend. He doesn't have to hesitate. You know, should I get the nicest esrog? Should I get an okay esrog? Should I get the more muhudr this or that? Right? For him, it becomes easy for him to carry out those mitzvos in a zekeli vanveyu, hider mitzvah kind of way. The chovas bnei adam imamono, he's able to do his bnei adam l'chaveira aspects that are required with money. He's able to give tzedakah generously. Right? So he's very thankful that he has that opportunity. B'nefesh chafetza v'ruach nediva, he's able to donate very generously to spiritual causes. What if he doesn't have money? How does bitachon help him? And eino bal mamon, if he's not particularly wealthy, he says, Baruch Hashem, I don't have money. Why? Yira ki cheson hamamon tova mitova samakum alav. Hashem, you've been so good. Right? If he's wealthy, he says, Hashem, you're so good to me. You've made it so easy for me to buy the nicer lulav and esrog, to get the more mahudr, you know, whatever, matzah. And to give tzedakah generously. Wow, what is chus you've given me to be able to give a lot of tzedakah? If he doesn't have money, but he has bitachon el Hashem. So he says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't have money. I don't have so much money. Because now I'm spared from all of the troubles that come with people who have a lot of money. Again, yiraki chesron ha-mamun tova mitova samakum alav. Hashem, you did me such a big favor by not making me too wealthy. You know why? Reb Nation is stalkum me'alav ha-chovos, shuchayev behem lelukim, because you freed me from the demands that come, the expectations that come, both in terms of Hashem's expectations of you and people's expectations of you, for one who has a lot of money. And I don't have to be anxious about my investments because I don't have money to invest. I don't have to be nervous about guarding my money because there's nothing in my house to steal. Right? And I mentioned this in the drasha 2 weeks ago, this line. Was said about one of the pious individuals. Shaya Omer, he used to say, Hamakum yatzileni mipizor hanefesh. An amazing little tefillah. You know, if we take one thing into like our daily lives and everything we've learned, take this tefillah, put it at the end of your Shemona Esrei. Hamakum yatzileni mipizor hanefesh. Hashem, spare me, save me from the illness of what of being scatterbrained. Of not being able to just be present, to always being anxious, to always being overwhelmed. To be able to have an expansive consciousness of and God awareness that I'm able to become. I'll tell you an amazing insight from Matisyahu Salomon. Matisyahu Salomon is of course, the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva. He should live and be well. He's had some of his own struggles in recent years. And in a Torah journal, many years ago, in 2004, a Torah journal called Kol Torah, in the 60th volume of the Kol Torah journal, Rabbi Matisyahu Salomon pointed out a very insightful psychological insight based on a rashi we had a couple weeks ago. And you'll think of another pasuk in Chumash right away. It says that when the Jews are feeling frustrated, it says, the pasuk says in Chukas, Parachof Aleph Pasuk Hey, the pasuk says, Vayisu mehor hahar derech yamsuf. Right, the Jews are traveling through Edom, and all of a sudden, v'tikzar nefesh ha'am badarach. And the people, in Pasuk Dalin, the people all of a sudden have tikzar nefesh ha'am. The people, their spirit grew short. Tikzar nefesh ha'am badarach. They're getting a little frustrated on the road. V'yadavar ha'am belokim uva Moshe, and they started to speak negatively about Hashem and about Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're complaining, what's with the man? And Hashem sends a plague of snakes, and next thing you know, Nachash Nachosh is fine. Says Rashi, "Vatikzar nefesh ha'am b'darach, b'torech ha'darach." From the hardship of the road, it's hard to be on the road. Shehuk shalahem, it was difficult for them. Okay, so they were complaining about that. But then Rashi says the following. Rashi says, "V'lo perish bo b'ma kotzer." Right? The pasuk doesn't say what were they frustrated about. Now the pasuk goes on to tell us their complaint, but what were they short of? But tikzar nefesh am. Were they short of food, like the pasuk continues? So says Rashi the following. Rashi says, whenever you have this expression of something being short, kigon v'tikzar nafshi bahem, u kigon v'tikzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael, V'chol davar akasha ala adam nofa bo lashon kitzur nefesh. Rashi says, whenever a person, kol davar akasha ala adam nofa bo lashon kitzur nefesh, when a person's going through a difficulty, it's always referred to in Tanakh as kitzur nefesh. Right? We have it where? We have it back in Shamos. Right? What does it say? Mikotzeruach me'avod akasha. Mikotzeruach. What's this idea? Kotzer nefesh, kotzer ruach. From what Matisyahu Salomon explained, he said, what Rashi is telling us is, what's short, right? Is it that I don't have enough money? Is that I don't have enough health? Is it that someone's giving me trouble? At the end of the day, what Rashi is telling us in these places is that no, there's a shortness of your spirit. You're seeing things in the wrong way. Matisyahu Salomon compared it to a person who's carrying a heavy package. If you're carrying a heavy package, and you're struggling to carry the package, it could be one of two things. It could be the package is simply too heavy for you. Or it could be, the same thing as a person's working out, right? So it could be his arms are hurting because, you know, the weights are simply too heavy for him. Or it could be he's lifting an appropriate amount of weight, he just doesn't know how to lift in the right way. There's a proper way to lift weights. There's a proper way to carry the package so it doesn't hurt your back. If you carry it the wrong way, your back can be aching. So when a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a challenge in life, there's a right way to carry it and there's a wrong way to carry it. If you're hurting too much from it, it doesn't say that Hashem is overwhelming you. Right? It's not that, well, there's not enough money in my bank account, there's not enough health in my life, there's not enough this, not enough shalom bias, there's a kotzer nefesh. There's an inability, there's something off with the way that you're responding to it. And that's what Bitachon helps us to resolve. Bitachon gives us a more expansive, godly view to be able to deal with the tzara, to be able to handle the difficulty. It's a very important insight called Davar HaKasha LaAdam Nofer Bo Lashon Kitzur Nefesh. The problem is an internal problem. Mendel Futterfass was a great mashpi in Chabad. So he was sitting in the Russian prison system for being a Jew, for the terrible crime of being a Jew. And there were some hardened criminals there, some thieves. And the Chevra in the jail somehow was able to obtain a deck of cards, which was completely, illegal as contraband. Big trouble with the guard. And they had a whole system where they would have someone be a lookout so they could sit and play cards. And the second they saw the guards coming, they would hide the cards. In 2 seconds, it was unbelievable how quickly they could make everything disappear. So the guards started to catch on, something's going on. And they decided, we want to, search the cell. And they searched. Nope. They could never find it. They said, you guys are up to something here. Nope. Somehow they always had a way of hiding it. So finally the guards said, no, I'm telling you, there's something, they have something. I could tell, by the way, when we walk by, something's going on here. They decided they're going to take everyone out of the jail cell, or they're going to line up everyone in the jail cell, and they're going to mamish turn the place inside out, upside down, strip search everyone. Whatever you guys are hiding, we're going to find. And they searched, and they searched, and they couldn't find anything. Right? And there was an informant who said, no, I'm telling you, one of the neighboring jail cell says, I'm telling you, they're up to something. He was trying to get good favor with the guards. And the guards said, no, we searched everything. Now, Mendel Futterfass used to tell this story. He was in that jail cell. And he saw the cards. And he knew, and he could have, it was an unbelievable magic trick. Like, where did the cards go? Right? That last time when they really turned the place inside out and upside down, where were the cards? So he asked them. He said, where are the cards? So this chevra, many of them were professional thieves and pickpockets. They said, where were the cards? We put it in the jailer's pocket. As they're searching the cell, we slipped it into their pocket, and on their way out, we picked it back out of their pocket. The cards were in their own pocket. And Mendel used to say, sometimes in life, a person, is always looking for the problem, looking for the solution, looking for someone else to blame. Says Matisyahu Salman, says Rashi, it's really his insight into Rashi. If there's a difficulty, it's a kitzur nefesh, it's an internal problem. Right? The cards are in your own pocket sometimes. The source of the problem is not by someone else. It's not that Hashem. Give Hashem benefit of the doubt that you're exactly where you need to be in life, and maybe your perspective on life is off. And that's what the Chovas Levavos is teaching us. Hashem, save me from Pizor HaNefesh, where I'm scattered thinking that the answer to my problem is somewhere else, as opposed to turning internally. Amru lo, so they asked this chassid, who used to daven this tefillah, Hamakim Yatzilenu mi Pizor HaNefesh, Amru lo, they said to him, Mahu Pizor HaNefesh? So tell us, what causes Pizor HaNefesh? Again, we're talking specifically in terms of a person who's financially successful or not at this moment. Amar, so he said to them, Shieli mamon barosh kol nar uvarosh kol kirya. A person who owns properties all over the place, he has investments in all sorts of, right, by the rivers and by the big cities. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Mar benachasim, mar bedaiga. More possessions, more things to worry about. More possessions, more things to worry about. When we didn't have carpet in our basement, and it would rain, and there would be a little drop of water in the basement, I didn't care. Now we have carpet in the basement, and it rains, and we recently fixed our steps, and now for the first time we're getting some water every time it rains in the basement. I can't figure out what the... Right? So, okay, so we have a nicer basement now, and I have more things to worry about. So that's mar benachas and mar bedaiga. The more you have, the more that you have to worry about. And therefore, who is the truly wealthy person? Now again, he taught us both. He taught us both variations. The person who has a lot of money is blessed in his avodas Hashem, that he can afford certain things. He doesn't have to worry about having, you know, the money to be able to serve Hashem. And the person who doesn't have a lot of money is spared from other challenges that come from wealth and success in that regard. But the person who has bitachon in Hashem, the bottom line is, he will have the greatest benefit from his money, namely his parnasa, meaning by believing in a Kadosh Baruch Hu and knowing that if whatever amount of money I'm supposed to have, that's what I'll have. So then he's able to enjoy his success, or lack thereof. And the person who has bitachon doesn't, he's not panicked. Again, he's not always looking to make his next move in his professional life. Because he really, really believes that if I'm supposed to have it, it's going to come my way. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a job and he sits back and waits for the month to fall on his doorstep. Although if he really believed that Hashem would provide for him in that way, it could work. Right? Not a false sense of bitachon. If he really believed that, he could sit back and it would literally land in his lap. But we're talking about a person who has a job, but he's not always looking to, how can I take it to the next level? He's not chasing in that way. Kamosha Amar HaChacham, Misuka Shnasa Oved, Ima'at Fem Harba Yochel. The simple worker sleeps well, because whatever he eats or whatever he earns, whether it's a lot or a little, it is what it is. V'hasova la'oshir einenu maniach lo lishon. But the success of the wealthy person robs him of sleep. Because at night he's thinking, you know, okay, I made $1 million, how am I going to make $2 million? I made $2 million, how am I going to make $4 million? His success takes over his life, and it ruins his simchas achayim. So wouldn't it be better to just have the simple bitachon, and if you're supposed to have a lot, you'll have a lot. If you have a little, you have a little, and you can get a good night's sleep. Umehen, another benefit of a person of bitachon, ki abotech b'Hashem lo yimna enu rov hamamon mibtoch b'Hashem. A person who has bitachon, and he is financially successful, because he has bitachon, he doesn't lose his bitachon. So he starts making money, he still doesn't say, oh, look, it's all me now. If he's rooted in bitachon, even when he's doing really well, he hopefully is able to hang on to his bitachon. He doesn't rely on his money, he relies on God. And he views the money that he does have, if he does have, he views it as a deposit by him. Which means if God wants to take it back tomorrow, I'm okay with that. No one wants that. Yeah, no one wants that. Right? But if Hashem takes it back, am I prepared to say, okay, it wasn't mine to begin with. It was never mine. I never owned it. I told you the other week. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, if a person has money in the bank, he has to view it at every second as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is depositing it into his bank account. So we think, what do you mean? It's, you know, it's protected by the federal government, and it's money that I've earned already. It's mine. I own it already. If Hashem wants it, Hashem will take it. And therefore, you don't be more comfortable if you have it or if you don't have it. Walk with Hashem. Tzuva l'shtamish po alpana miyuchadim. Hashem has granted you reshus to use that money for a period of time. For a set amount of time, and if God changes his mind and wants to give it to someone else, he'll find a way to do it. No matter how successful and how protected your investments are, and how, you know, etc., etc., etc. Vim yasmid kiyumo etzlo lo yivat ba'avuro. And if it does last by him a long time, he doesn't become haughty. He lives with bitachon and the awareness that it's Hashem's money, it's not my money. V'lo yazkir tovaso l'misha tzuva l'seis l'mimenu. And he never, ever turns to someone who he supported in his time of success, the person who needed the handout. He never turns to that fellow and says, don't forget, I took care of you, you owe me. He doesn't feel it. He feels that I was a conduit, I was a channel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of this individual. It wasn't me, it was never me. He doesn't expect thanks or anything in return. The person who gave a lot of money to tzedakah thanks Hashem. He doesn't expect thank yous from anyone. Doesn't need to be honored at any dinner. He feels, I'm so thankful that Hashem gave me the opportunity to be that channel by which people are helped. That's how he views it. That Hashem appointed me, Asher Samo Siba Latovos. I became a source of goodness for someone else. And he's very happy to have had that opportunity to do so. And if he loses all of his money, he's still not worried. Again, we're talking on a very high level. There's many shlavim, there's many levels, obviously, within this whole framework. But the point that we're trying to learn is that there's no point where a Baal Bitachon is too comfortable or he's too nervous. He has, to say it the way the Baal Shem Tov explained it, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir. What is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir? How do we translate that pasuk? So we think, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu should be opposite us at all times. I'm living in the presence of Hashem. Okay. I should place Hashem opposite me at all times. That's what David HaMelech meant. Okay, that's one explanation. In the Tzavos Rivash, which again wasn't written really by the Baal Shem Tov, but it's the last will and testament of the Baal Shem Tov, it says there in one of the early pieces, it says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid means that there's a certain Hishtavus HaNefesh, a certain equilibrium with which I take everything, where everything by me is equal, where I don't get too excited about success, I don't get too broken by failure, I'm able to just shaveh, hakol shaveh, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. If someone insults me, I'm not too bent out of shape about that. If someone doesn't give me enough kavod, I'm not too bent out of shape about that. If I'm very successful, it doesn't go to my head. If I'm really struggling, I'm okay. Shaveh, shivisi, the level playing field, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. That because I live with Hashem, everything by me is equal. That's a person who has bitachon. That's a person who's living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where everything in life, nothing rattles him too much. If he loses all of his money, lo ye'evel l'chasrono, he doesn't mourn for his losses. Achumode le'lokov b'kachto pikdono me'ito. He says, Hashem, you took the money back? Okay, it was your money to begin with. Kasher hod b'nisi nasolo. The same way I thanked God when I got the money, I acknowledge it was from Hashem. So now when it gets taken away, it's not, bad investment, right? Bad market. Not bad market. Hashem took back the money. That's what Hashem wanted. And that's what Hashem did. The Yismach Bechelk, when he celebrates whatever he has, V'nenam Mavakish Hezeklu Lasso, he doesn't try to undermine anyone else's business ventures. V'lo Yachmon Odom B'mono, and he doesn't allow himself to become jealous of anyone else. K'mosha Amar HaChacham Tzadik Ochel L'sova Nafsham. The tzaddik eats, and he's satisfied with what he has, and he doesn't worry about tomorrow. Now, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that we say is part of Kabbalah Shabbos. Hayomim b'kolo tishmo. Right, today, if you listen to my voice. So there's a Torah from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nachman says, there's a Gemara, first of all, there's a Gemara that says that one of the Tanayim met up with Eliyahu HaNavi and said, Nu was it Mashiach? When Mashiach came, maybe met up with Mashiach, I think the Gemara says, maybe Eliyahu, I don't remember. Rabbi Shuben Levi, I think it was. So when are you coming? So he said, Hayom and Bekolo Tishmo. I'm coming today. If you listen to my voice. He said, wow, today. So he went out, he was so excited, Mashiach's coming. The day passed, and Mashiach didn't come. So he went back to Eliyahu, he said, no, what happened? You told me Hayom Bekolo Tishmo. So he's like, right, Hayom in Bekolo Tishmo. If you listen to my voice, if you do what you're supposed to do, I'm ready to come immediately. So Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful Torah. It's a very short Torah. Number 272 in Likutei Moran. It's called Hayom. Hayom, it's on this pasuk. Hayom in Bekolo Tishmo. And Rabbi Nachman talks about how people get so messed up in their Avodas Hashem. And in just their Simchas HaChaim, just living a healthy life. Because they're worried too much about yesterday and they're worried too much about tomorrow. The secret that Eliyahu and Mashiach are revealing to us is Hayom in Bekolo Tishmo. Take life a day at a time. Hayom. Hayom. Rosh Hashanah is the day that we set the tone for the whole year, right? It's the day where, and how is Rosh Hashanah referred to? In Tanakh, it's called Hayom. When the Satan is going around, it was Hayom, and the Satan came to Hashem to complain about Iyov. Rashi says Hayom means Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar says Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Parsha Nitzav, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom, the day. And it sets the tone for the whole year. That's why the Chazanish was sitting one time, and it was a fly that was buzzing around that was disturbing him while he was learning. And he kept landing on his Gemara, and he kept trying to chase it away, and he kept coming back. And the Chazanish smiled, and he turned to his Chavrusa, and he said, you see this fly? This is a Rosh Hashanah fly. It was determined on Rosh Hashanah that at this date, like 6 months later, at this time, you know, something went wrong with my tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem decreed that this fly is going to disturb my living. It's a Rosh Hashanah fly. So Rosh Hashanah sets the tone for the whole year. So that's why it's called Hayom, right? It's the day that affects everything. Or maybe a different way to learn it is Rosh Hashanah teaches us, you know, that if I can do it right for one day, and then I can maybe do it right for one more day, and do it right for one more day, and if I take my life one day at a time, there's an amazing halacha that Rabbi Simcha Bunu Prashitcha said. By the shofar, how big is the shofar supposed to be? Right? It's supposed to be a tefach. The shofar, you need to be able to grab it in your hand and have enough room to blow it. There's a pasuk, David HaMelech says that my life is like tefachot. So Rabbi Simcha Bunu Prashitcha explained, take life a tefach at a time. The halachic dimensions of a shofar are tefach. One grasp at a time. A person sometimes gets so worried about, oh, but what happened yesterday and how does it affect my tomorrow? And I'm worried about what's going to be tomorrow. And there's so many causes of anxiety. Maybe I'm upset about bad choices I made in my past, averos I've done in the past. Or maybe I'm concerned about my spiritual future because of, you know, things that are happening now. Maybe I struggled, you know, with my health in the past and that affects my now because what if, God forbid, something comes back to haunt me? Or what will be in the future? Who knows what's going to be? So Rabbi Nachman says, Eliyahu Navi Mashiach, give you the secret to life, which is what? Hayom and Bekolu Tishmo. Take life one day at a time. Take it one experience at a time. Live with Hashem one breath at a time. Kol HaNeshama Talka Aluka. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Yudalid, Al Kol Neshima U'Neshima Tahalal Kaf. Every breath you take, say thank you Hashem. I made it through another breath. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right? The Tzadik is Ochel L'Sova Nafsho. What's Shlomo Melech, the wisest man, telling us in Mishlei? The tzaddik eats, he has food to eat right now, gvaldik. What's going to be tomorrow? Yesterday I didn't have food. And tomorrow I may not have food. Okay, right now I had food. Thank you, Hashem, I had food right now. We'll deal with tomorrow when we get to tomorrow. That's a baal bitachon. That's a person of true bitachon. Okay, let's go further. Ach to'eles habitachon ba'olam. Let's talk about some of the benefits, again, in worldly matters. In the last paragraph, he presented it as spiritual benefits. Right? He spoke about money the whole time. But the spiritual benefits of having money or not having money. What about just life in general? Worldly matters. How does bitachon affect my olam hazeh? Mehan, amongst them, again, a person of bitachon, has menuchas halev. As we've been saying, menuchas hanefesh, menuchas halev. He has peace of mind. His heart is at rest. Menadaigos haolamios. He's not overwhelmed by the things of this world. And there are plenty of things that one who doesn't have bitachon can be overwhelmed about. Vashalva midinud hanefesh. And he has, again, he has a certain tranquil spirit that doesn't allow him to be stirred. Vitzara lechesron ta'avasu hagufios. Some people are nervous that they're not maximizing the bodily gratification and pleasures of the world. He's not nervous about that. He's not living in this world just to maximize the fun. It's okay if he doesn't get to experience all the pleasures of this world. He lives with Hashem. That's the greatest pleasure by him. He doesn't need to be a world traveler to have a good time. Again, he has a certain calm, uvevitra uveshalva bolam haza, a certain certainty in his life, a certain security, a certain peace of mind in this world. Kamoshakasov baruch hagever asher yiftach b'Hashem v'haya Hashem yiftachol, and he's just calm. V'amr v'haya keitz shasu almayim v'al yuval yishalach shorashav. Umehen menuchas hanefesh milachas bedrachim erachokim. Here's an interesting one. For those of us who travel on business, this person doesn't feel the need to go traveling to great distances to pursue a new client. If Hashem wants him to have this business deal, the deal will come his way. He doesn't have to chase as much. Again, a person obviously sometimes has to travel on business, but he doesn't need to go chasing. He doesn't need to look to constantly again to spread himself out. He doesn't need it. Asher mechala hagufos, it wears a person's body down. Umaharas hashlamas yimechayim, and it takes away again a sense of wholesomeness in his life because he's always traveling, he's always running, he's shopping all over the place, and now he's scattered. He feels scattered. He can't daven like a mensch, and he can't spend time with his family like a mensch, and it's all to make a few more bucks because he wants to have the nice house that his neighbor has, and at what cost? The quality of life. And then he wakes up at the end of his life and he says, well, that was stupid. That was a bad call. Like, why did I make myself crazy? And I didn't get more money, by the way. A Baal Bitachon believes I didn't actually get more money by doing that. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, that the being on the road takes a toll on the body. Now look at this. This is a great paragraph. It was said about one of the tzaddikim, translate it loosely. Before he was a big tzaddik, he used to travel out on business. And he went to distant lands in order to try to make more money. So one time, he met a non-Jew. Now again, this guy was a frum person, but he wasn't yet such a tzaddik. And he met an idol worshiper. Okay. In this distant land. Amr lo aparush. So he says, holier than thou, he says to the idol worshiper, Kama tem betachlis ha'ivaron. How blind you people, you worship idols, whatever your belief system is. You're such a foolish person. Your whole system, your whole theology, your whole philosophy is so off. And he's poking fun at him. What kind of worship is this? What kind of gods do you believe in? He's making fun of him. Amr loham goshi. So again, this idol worshiper said to him, Uma ata ovid. So tell me about your belief system. Amr lo parosh. He said back to him, very firm guy. Ani ovid habore. I serve the true creator. Hayachol, the one who's capable. Hamechalkel, the one who supplies me with my needs. Ha'echad, the one and only God. Hamatrif, the one who gives me my sustenance. Asher ein kamo, ein od movado. It's going on and on. Amr lo hamgoshi. So this non-Jewish fellow puts him in his place. He says back to him, really? You talk the talk, but what are you doing in this distant land if you believe that God provides you with all your needs? Look what he says to him. Pa'alcha soser es devarecha. You have a lot of Baruch Hashem on your lips, but the way that you go about your business, your tefillin are off every day before you finish Ruval Etzion. So how much do you really believe in the Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad that you were makabel upon yourself a few minutes earlier? And it was only a few minutes because your whole davening is only like 23 minutes. Right? So your actions contradict your speech, your so-called beliefs. Amr lo aparish, hey, what did I do wrong? So he says to him, Amr lo, ilu haya masha marta emes, if you really believed what you said, haya matrifcha bi'ircha. So why wouldn't God give you your sustenance in your hometown? Why are you schlepping around, running around the world, trying to make more money? Kamoshi trifcha hena. The same way you're trying to do business over here. Why couldn't God, if this one God is this all-encompassing God who you believe in, so why couldn't you have success in your hometown? Why do you have to travel all the way here? Good question. So you know what the parish said back to him? Nothing. He said, you're right. And he went home. He had nothing more to say. And he went back. He went back to his hometown. He became a truly God-fearing person from that day forward. I don't know if that means that he never worked another day in his life, but he changed his whole mindset of what it means to have parnas in this role. And he didn't go on these exotic trips anymore trying to reel in another client. And he never, ever again traveled to distant lands to try to expand his business. It's an amazing mashal. It's a very powerful mashal. How much do we believe the words that we're saying? I read an unbelievable story about the Birkas of Ram from Slanim, one of the tzaddikim of Slanim. The Birkas of Ram, towards the end of his life, was blind. And yet, every day when he would daven, he would take a sitter in his hand. He would hold the sitter for Birkas HaShachar, and then he would put down the sitter. And he would daven the rest of the davening, Baal Peh, because he was blind. So one of his grandchildren asked him, he said, why do you like to hold the sitter when you say Birkas HaShachar? And he said with such a tmimus, he said such an unbelievable thing. The Birchas Avraham said, well, we say a bracha as part of our Birchas HaShachar, Pokeach Ivrim. Hashem, you give sight to the blind. So I hold the sitter in my hand every day. And as I'm saying the brachas, I say the bracha, Hashem, you give sight to the blind. And then I look to see, can I see? And if I don't, I say, okay. I kiss the sitter. I say, thank you, Hashem, for making me blind, because that's obviously what's best for me. Because if you wanted me to see, then I believe that the bracha works. I believe that pokeach ivrim, you sometimes give sight to those who are blind. And if you chose to make me blind for another day, then I'm a kabbal pa'ava. But he took the sitter in his hand because he believed maybe one day I'll say the bracha and I'll be able to see. That's a person who believes what he's saying. That's a baal pitachon. And he was fine either way. Now again, he didn't like being blind. Who would like being blind? Chazal say being blind is equated with being dead. It's one of the four things that are like death itself. Right? But he believed, as he was saying that bracha, Hashem could change it if he wants. And if Hashem doesn't change it, so then I still, I'm not angry at Hashem, I live with Hashem's choice. And I'm a kabbalah bav, and I kiss the sinner, and I say, thank you for giving me the opportunity to try again. That's an amazing thing. It's such an amazing thing. You know, the story of Yonah is a complicated story, right? Yonah's running away from God, but he's doing it l'shem shemayim. It's an avera l'shema. A navi who suppresses his nevuah, according to the Gemara, is chayiv misa. And Yonah gets pretty close to being chayiv misa. He's thrown overboard at the end, and he's swallowed by a big fish, and says some very interesting things. Yonah doesn't want to carry out his mission because he's scared it's going to look bad for Klal Yisrael. If I tell the non-Jews to repent and they repent, well, then what's it going to say about all the times that the Nevi'a Emes came to the Jewish people and they didn't repent? So Yonah's on the run. And one of the famous psukim of Yonah is when the ship is tossing and turning and Yonah is fast asleep, sloughing away, snoring away at the bottom of the boat. And they come to him and they say, Malacha Nirdan. Now the Chavetz Chaim has a beautiful essay about tshuva, where he learns that as a critique of Yonah, how could you sleep at a time like this? When the world is shaking, how could we be asleep? And the Chavetz Chaim talks about how the shofar is supposed to wake us up, to like, hello, do you realize the world is kind of crazy, and we could probably use Mashiach, we should probably do tshuva, we should probably start getting more serious about our avodas Hashem. Chavetz Chaim has an essay called Malacha Nirdam as a critique of Yonah, which on some level it is. But I saw that Rosh Hashanah Shvadron, in his Sefer Lev Shalom, the Bereishis volume, Rosh Hashanah Shvadron, the great Magid from Yerushalayim, he has a beautiful essay where he talks about bitachon, and he talks about daiga, a person who worries, and a person who has bitachon and is able to conquer their worries in that way. And he says that, no, they were coming to Yonah and they were asking him, teach us your secret. How could a person stay so calm? Everyone else was freaking out. The boat's shaking, and they think, right? V'chishavali hishaver, the pasuk says. It's about to be torn to pieces. And Yonah's getting a good shluff at the bottom of the boat. So it seems like a contradiction because he's running from Hashem, but Yonah didn't have a lack of faith in God. He communicated with God. He was a Navi. Yonah got his, according to Chazal, Yerushalmi says, Yonah went to the Simchas Beis Shoev and the Beis HaMikdash, and he was inspired, and he got Nevuah. That's how awesome it was to be in the Beis HaMikdash. You would sometimes could receive a Nevuah there. So Yonah got a Nevuah. Yonah's very connected to God. He's choosing to rebel against God, L'shem Shemayim. It's an Avera L'shma to try to protect Klal Yisrael. He's on a boat now, and it's tossing and turning, and Yonah says, all right, I'm going down to the bottom of the boat to take a nap. And they say to him, who are you? Ma malachtika, who's your God? What religion do you follow that you could have such peace of mind in such a crazy moment? And he says, right? He says, oh, Ivri Anochi, and I fear the Jewish God, and that's how I'm so calm. That's what Rosh Hashanah writes about. Because if you really fear and believe in the Jewish God, the way that this parish got Musar from that Ovid Avodah Zarah in some far-flung country, he said, you're right. What is there to be nervous about? Give a Kodesh Baruch Hu benefit of the doubt. Hashem knows what he's doing. Believe in the words that we're saying in davening. Atachonin la'adam das. As someone of my students just now, he's been studying for the last 3 months for the next stage of his CPA examination. So I said to him, I said, you can go study some more. Or you can come to a shiur on bitachon if you want. I said, don't worry. I said, bitachon means you don't have to worry. You did your part. If you're meant to, he's not here at the moment. If you're meant to, he had other commitments. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. Now again, we haven't really addressed the question. So where is that line between hishtalus and bitachon? I told you the story last week. The Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha went to the Gvir's house to collect the money, and all he did was touch the doorknob and walk away. He didn't even knock. He didn't sit down and ask for money. He felt that his level of bitachon was such that it's enough to go to the Gvir's house. You go to the wealthy person's house, you touch the knocker on the door, you take your hand off, you go back to the base. Imagine the Gevir will come to you. And that's what happened for the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Okay, most people need to do a little more hishtalus. But everyone has to be asking, we have to ask ourselves as we learn this, to what degree do I need to be running around as much as I'm running around? To what degree do I need to be as nervous as I am about the situation? Again, I'm not poking fun, God forbid, and I'm not saying this is an easy thing. And we're human beings who are emotional, and if someone's sick, we're scared. That's normal. But there's levels of being anxious about it. There's levels of second-guessing the doctor. You can't outsmart a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're not going to make the money that you're not supposed to make. And you're not going to get the refuah that you're not supposed to have. You're not going to get that hatzlacha that you're not... Whatever it is. Right? And that's what it means to live with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's just do a drop more and then we'll daven Ma'ariv. Umehen, another advantage, again, in terms of picking a profession. Umehen menuchas hanefesh va'aguf min amasim ha'koshim va'amalachos ha'miyagos ha'zagufos. When I choose a profession, do I sign up for a profession that I know is particularly demanding and is going to take a toll on my body? Va'azov avodas ha'malachim v'chulkeim v'chamas ansheihem. Do I avoid those types of jobs that are I'm involved in all sorts of government types of positions that take a toll? Which of the Shvatim, which of the sons of Yaakov was the first one to go? Yosef was destroyed by being a melech. Now he did a lot of good in the world. He was a melech and he saved humanity with his financial plan to save the world in a time of crisis and famine. But it took a toll on him. It took a toll on him. Right? And Chazal say, because Malchus takes a toll. Being involved in government takes a toll. Being involved in certain public positions take a toll. So when I choose a profession, do I choose a what are some of the considerations in choosing a profession? Or changing professions? Or trying to pursue, again, a certain level of success or growth within my profession? A person who has bitachon in Hashem chooses something which gives him time to rest. He doesn't take a job where the expectation is that he literally comes home at 1 in the morning and goes back to the office at 6 in the morning. He doesn't need that kind of job. There are other jobs in the world. So choose something else. Who says you have to take that job? There's nothing else you could do? Well, you know, my tuition for Jewish education is a lot. I understand. I pay it also. It's a lot. I understand. Being a from Orthodox Jew in the world today is expensive. Right? But is there no other option? If there's really no other option, then okay. But do I have to take that job that's so crazy? And if I had like a job that was doing okay, but I want to take it to the next level, am I prepared to take on such a craziness, to buy into that craziness of the world that it's normal for a person to come home at 2 o'clock in the morning and turn around to go back by 7 in the morning? Even if it's only a couple of months out of the year. Is that normal? Should that be normal to us? Upenai lalibo, take a job that has a shem tovlo, that'll give you a normal reputation. Don't take a job where people are going to be scrutinizing you in a different type of way. Upenai lalibo, have a job where you have the time to think. Umishu mefik yoser lechovas tarasso im yeser munasso. Take a job which will be conducive to fulfilling my religious obligations, and a job that fits with my belief systems. I have a friend who's constantly sending me emails from his office, like the crazy things like in the world today, you know, whatever. I'm not gonna say all of them, but like the crazy sensitivities and the new expectations in our ever-changing world. And he sends them to me like, these people are crazy. And at some point, you know, you got to just get out of there. This goes against your belief systems. It goes against service of B'nai Noah. Forget about like the 613. At some point, this is a crazy place for a person to be working. Now, I understand you get a nice, you know, paycheck and you have financial stability, et cetera, et cetera. But there's such a thing as choosing a job that fits with his amunah, that fits with his belief system. And to work, so maybe find a from firm where people, you know, don't change the way that we think about, everything that, you know, that I'm hinting to. And then he writes very strong, look at this. Kiasiba lo tosif lo bechuko velo techasrei mimenu ma'uma. Because those efforts that a person makes, all of the causes, all of the moves that you're going to make, it will not increase one penny or won't take away one penny from what you're supposed to earn. How many of us believe that? How many of us believe that on Rosh Hashanah it's determined how much we're going to make this year? And I don't have to work harder or less hard in order to earn it. It's been determined by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why make myself crazy? Again, I have to do something as part of the curse of Adam HaRishon, that b'zeiras hapecha tocha lechem. So you have to work, right? But to what degree do I have to work, and to what degree do I need to chase? And he says here, it's again, if you can show me a different approach that's authentic to Judaism, we could talk about it. But the Chovas Levavos, which is a pretty well-respected Jewish philosophical work, says that putting in more effort will not make you more money and it will not detract, and sitting at home a little bit more will not detract from the money you're supposed to earn. How Hashem works that out is up to Hashem. Kamo Shenamar, Ki lo mimotza mimare velo mimidbar harim. not by going to the east or to the west or traveling into the wilderness. Harim is a person lifted up. Ki Elokim Shofet, God is the judge. Ze yashpil v'ze yarim. You can have a guy who works like crazy over the course of the year, and it's not his best year financially. And the year where he traveled less, he made more. Hashem decides. Va'omer binos desha yarbitzeni al meimanuchas yinahaleni. Okay? Last two lines for tonight. U'mehen, and finally, miut sar nafsho b'mischaro. One of the advantages of bitachon, again, these are all corollaries of the same idea, but to what degree, again, am I aggravated by my business dealings? What does that mean? Im tis'aki v'tzlo pragmatia. How does he feel if he gets stuck? He made an investment, he bought a lot of this product that he's going to sell, and he gets stuck with a lot of it. And now he has to sell it for a tremendous loss. O im lo yuchal ligbos chovor. If he can't collect, he has a client who owes him money, and he keeps hesitating to pay him. O im yifke'eyu chali begufo. Or let's say he's at the prime of his career, and then he's afflicted by illness, and he's knocked out of work at the time where everything was in place for him to make some big moves. Is he nervous? If he's a Baal Bitachon, he says a very strong line here. Hashem knows what's best for you. And if Hashem, right, if the coach sidelines you, even if you feel like, coach, come on, you got to put me in. This is my big moment. I can do it for the team. And the coach says, listen, I've got the bigger picture of what our team needs to win the game. And he puts in some guy, this guy's not as good. And that guy scores the winning goal and scores the winning shot. Right? The coach has the broader vision. So lahavdil, a million times over, Kodesh Baruch Hu has the broader vision of what you need in your life. Uvocher lo tov yoser mashu bocher la'atzmo. And Hashem knows how to choose what's right for you more than you know how to choose what's right for yourself. Whereas the Chavetz Chaim writes in one very powerful line in Shmiras HaLashon, God loves you more than you love yourself. We need to think about that. Hashem knows what's best for you more than you know what's good for yourself. Hashem loves you and cares about you and puts you in a position in life that is better for you than you could choose if Hashem said, okay, you pick everything that you want. I trust in Hashem. David Melech says, I quiet down that voice that wants to take charge. I try to level the playing field, and I let HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, guide me through life. So Mirtz Hashem, we should try to be Jews who, again, understand that trying to run around the world and trying to seek new ways to get what I want is not the answer. It's not always going to work. I'll end with one final story. In December 1940, Rav Moshe Yitzchak Segel, this is in the biography of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Yitzchak Segel was 1940. So England and Germany England and its allies were at war in the skies above his home, basically. And one morning, Rav Moshe Yitzchak Segel was walking with one of his Talmidim. They're on their way to the Beis Medrash to daven Shacharis. And all of a sudden, planes appear overhead, which was not uncommon at that time period. Right? And he sees the British Royal Air Force and some German planes are shooting at each other. And there's literally shrapnel landing all around them. So the Talmud grabs his Rebbe by the arm, as they're on their way to Shacharis that morning. And he says, Rebbe, let's run! Now again, this is not the type of story I usually like to tell because you might say, it's foolish, it's dangerous. Each person lefi madre gossip. It's an important story to think about. And his Rebbe says to him, no, let's walk. Let's walk. And they walked arm in arm, saying Tehillim all the way to the Beis Medrash. Now you might say, well, you're in danger, get out of harm's way. But I'll ask you, does running to the Beis Medrash, as opposed to walking to the Beis Medrash, guarantee that you're not going to get, a piece of a stray bullet or some shrapnel landing on your head? Maybe you're running right into the line of fire. As the Kedushas Levi once saw a guy running to work in the morning. And he said, where are you going? He saw he was leaving shul a little bit early. He says, where are you running? He says, I'm running to my parnasa. So he says, maybe you're running away from your parnasa. Maybe your parnasa is in the opposite direction. And that's what Moshe Yitzchak Segel said to his student. By running, it's not going to get us there. For men to get there, we'll get there. Let's hold arms, let's lock arms, let's say Tehillim every step of the way, and let's trust that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if we're supposed to get there, will get us there. So Mirtz Hashem, we should walk with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through life, and whatever is supposed to be, hopefully only revealed good in our life, will reveal itself to each and every one of us. Amen.